One of the things that I've enjoyed getting old. A lot of people don't enjoy getting old, but I love getting old. I turned 65 my last birthday, and I've enjoyed every minute of it, especially starting to collect those Social Security checks I look forward to so much. Get some money back from the government, thank God Almighty. That's a good reward, you know. But the greatest reward of all is what I do right now. This is what I love to do. It's been my life ever since the Lord got a hold of me when I was about 13 years old. And ever since then, I can't quit talking to Him, and He certainly don't quit talking to me. So I hope and pray that He will bless us all with His effectiveness today. If you will pardon me for a moment, I would like to talk to Him just a second before we do this. Father Heaven, we thank You so much for all that You've shared with us. And through Your Son Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, we ask for Your presence in this place. And Lord, most of all, may You be glorified and may praise be brought to Your Son Jesus. And with all diligence, Lord, we ask for His coming. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll find me just a tad different. Some people do, some people like it, some people don't, but I am different. One fella said, "You remind me of a fella standing right in the middle of a pile of fire ants." If I had fire ants going to my britches leg, you would be seeing more of me than you would want to see. I promise you there's not one fire ant in the house today. Paul the Apostle came to the people, and he was a type of person that really, Paul just couldn't help telling you what he thought. Oftentimes, people really got bothered by him, but he really told them what he thought. He speaks in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I don't know what you came here for today. I came here to feel the Lord. I don't know what you came here today or what your notion was when you hit the door there. I have no idea. But when I hit the door there, I came here to know Him better, to talk about Him more, and hopefully some way help you know Him a whole lot better than you know Him now. I kind of titled this sermon, "Has the Church Fire Been Put Out?" You know, Dave, what I've seen over my 65 years of life, I've seen people change. And what bothers me about change is that each time I see the change, I see less of God and more of people and self. I see people not wanting to be too close to God. Because if you get real close to God, then you've got to do what God tells you. If you're really close to Him through Jesus Christ, your whole motivation of life is totally different. The reason I chose the scripture from on the road to Emmaus is the fact that people need to have a good walk with the Lord. I don't know how you walk with Him. I don't even know how you talk with Him. But I just strolled around my good buddy's house this morning, just kicking the grass and looking at trucks, and just the Lord and I just communicating. The thing about it is, when you come to this place, it should be the place so removed from the world that nothing touches this place where you meet God. Nothing. Those men were going down the road. They had felt a great loss. Somebody that was so special to them, there wasn't nobody like Him. Have you ever met somebody that's so special you just couldn't forget them? A friend of mine, his name was Charles Rader. He and I were in school when we were about the fourth or fifth grade. Never met a friend like him. Loved him from the very minute I saw him. He loved me. I was poorer than dirt, and he had more than I had, and that was all right. It didn't make any difference to Charles. It didn't make any difference if he had a store and his daddy had plenty of money. It didn't make any difference. And he didn't see anything wrong with my tattered clothes, nor my poor way of life. He just loved me for who I was, and me the same. We went to school together, and we're going to go into about the sixth grade next year. We said our goodbyes at summertime and told him I'd see him when school started again because he lived in one place and I lived in the other, and we couldn't meet much. During the summer, Charles came down with leukemia. And before the time came for us to meet again, my friend Charles Rader slept in the silent city of the dead. I miss him to this day because there was a feeling of goodness about the relationship we had. But I met another fellow when I was about 13, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he has been so much to me ever since then. And the thing about him, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He don't leave, and he won't leave. These people were looking for something had to happen. They had seen somebody they loved crucified and put to death and put in a tomb, and they were just totally taken back. You ever lost somebody to the enemy of death? We just lost my wife's brother's wife, yes. Her name was Pat. We love her very much. She died this past week. They're having her funeral today, even as we speak. It's been a hard week. It's been an exceptionally hard week. But these gentlemen were suffering a great loss. And they each one were talking about what was happening and what had happened and what was taking place. And they couldn't hardly believe that this fellow that was with them didn't know what was going on. And the Bible says here that when they were walking along in the 19th verse of the 24th chapter of Luke, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it would have been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. What would you feel like if one of your good friends that had passed away suddenly come up out of that graveyard and walked through that door of the church? I don't think they would be much. Some people would be astonished. Other people would actually be trying to get to the other door. More or less, truthfully. But in my mind, I visualize my people coming up out of the earth. There's not a funeral that I go to. There's not a funeral I conduct. There's not one that I have had the awesome privilege of laying to rest in the silent city of the dead, that I don't, in my mind, envision them coming back up out of the earth and seeing them again. Your mothers, your fathers, your sisters, your brothers, your children, your kinsmen. It's just a wonderful feeling when you can visualize by faith what God is going to do through Jesus Christ. I don't know why Jesus didn't speak up and tell them who he was. It might have been too much for the old boy's heart. They couldn't stand it. Can't never tell. Just like that, they might have seen him and suddenly they might have wanted to run instead of standing. But the thing about it is, in the 24th verse he said, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Why is it so hard to believe in God's power to raise the dead? Why is it so hard to relate to the fact that he that created us from the dust of the ground, that by that same power that he can raise us and quicken us and make us alive again? Why is it so hard to believe that God can raise the dead? Paul stood before old Agrippa. He says, why do you think it's an incredible thing that God can raise the dead? And you know how Paul was? He's one of these non-stop preachers. If you think I'm fast and you think I move a little bit, that little boy was a grasshopper on a hot day. He moved around everywhere. And he was in front of Agrippa, and I'm sure when he was doing his talk to Agrippa, he wasn't standing there just like a normal Jew, real quiet and everything, because he was so excited about seeing Jesus after his resurrection, he was telling Agrippa about it. Agrippa said, listen with intent. He said, and, oh, great king, you should know all these things. You're a learned man. You should know all this stuff. You should know what has happened. And this should be something that you know. As he keeps on talking to Agrippa, Agrippa says this thing quietly. He says, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, I think a lot of people are living their life like Agrippa. Their lives are almost persuaded, just to really be a Christian or a Christ-like person. They're not quite where they want to be, or they're not quite where they think they should be. I tell my people, I said, what would you do if all the exits of this place were closed tight and the building was on fire? Well, I've got one fellow that weighs about 300 and some pounds. He said, preacher, I'd make a way. I said, well, I wouldn't be too far behind you if you was making the way. The thing about it is, when these men talked to him and he spoke to them the things of God, and as they related this thing, he says, and then they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the Scriptures? Does the Bible give you a good, warm, cozy feeling? Or does it give you one of those feelings that maybe you're just about ready to catch on fire? Now, I've had a few run-ins with stuff that kind of goes poof, you know. I was filling a little, one of these little things that you light your grill with one day. You know, you put butane in it. I stand over the sink, you know. I wasn't thinking nothing about that thing leaking, you know, nothing at all. So I was just a chunk of that little thing in there, and it was filling up, you know, and I was feeling right proud of myself. I was getting it to work. So I set my butane over here. Thank God I did that part. That was about the smartest move of the day. Then I decide, well, let's see if this little booger alight. So I flipped the switch on that little thing, not knowing that all that gas had gathered in the sink. So I go flip, and something goes, whoo! And I think every hair on my head stood up. It was a most moving experience. Have you ever seen blue fire this close to your face? It will make you appreciate not doing that ever again. There was a prophet. His name was Jeremiah. It's found in the 9th verse of the 20th chapter. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I believe some people have made a covenant with themselves. They won't talk about the Lord. I believe some people have made a covenant with themselves. They won't mention His name. I believe some people have really taken the fire of God and they've taken it over here and they've smothered it out. It is no longer burning. It may be smoldering just a little bit, but it is no longer burning. I believe that some people are not obedient to what the apostle said, quench not the Spirit. I believe people really, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe they snuff it out because they know that if it gets burning in their life, it is going to ignite everything that is good in their life. The sorrow of the thing of it is today, and one of the things that really bothered me, is I watch people that come into the church and they seem like they're so on fire with God, they're so in touch with the Lord, they're so really moved by what God is doing in their life, only to see that just kind of just go away. Now, my dad, when I was growing up, I had to build fires at the house. He had a big old stove in the living room. That booger looked like it was this long, that wide. I don't know, it was the biggest stove I ever seen. Thing stood about that high. And I had to build a fire in that boogerish thing and then go in the kitchen and build one in the cook stove. Oh, by the way, we had outdoor plumbing there too. I will tell you something else, but only in private to you. I got a dime every morning for building fires in both of those stoves. I'd take that thing and I was a smart little booger. I learned that them pine stumps, when they stay in the ground a long time after they're dead, they develop what they call rich pine. So I take me an axe and an old thing of a digger, and I go up in the mountain and dig out stumps of pine. And they had rich pine in them. Well, you wouldn't have to do nothing. Put you about 4 or 5 blocks in the bottom and put you about 3 pieces of rich pine and pile that thing full of big sticks of wood and light that pine. And man alive, in a few minutes that thing was, you know how fire gets going sometime and it starts this woo business? Well, buddy, I had some of them fires that would go woo. Daddy would get up and he'd go in there and warm himself, and Mama would go in the kitchen and start making biscuits and frying bacon and eggs and everything for us. And you know, I was right proud of myself. I could build a fire. I was really good at it. And I thought it was really something neat. Well, you know, I've been doing the same thing for about almost 20 or 30 years of my life, trying to build fires in people's lives that the devil can't put out. And I've been trying to do it for so long and so much that I've got right good at it. And I'm not putting any buttons on my chest or anything, but I really know what God has done for me. I don't know what He's done for you or how He's doing it, but I know what He's done for me. He took me from a wretched bunch of sinners that were nothing but drunks, and I could name a few more names that we couldn't say in church. And He took me right smack dab out of the middle of those people and gave me His Son Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. And in the process of that, He put His Holy Spirit down deep in my heart and gave me a witness to tell you that the greatest thing that can ever happen to your life is for you to come to Christ Jesus and make Him Lord of your life forever. Amen. The thing about it is, I am working against a critter out there that is right smart. And he's doing his very best to destroy every movement of the Spirit. Some people said, well, it's existing evil in your life. I don't care how you denote it. It don't really bother me. I deal with him on a day-to-day basis. And you know what my greatest pleasure is going to be very soon when my Lord Jesus comes in all of his glory? My greatest pleasure. Yes, count this as the one that I got at the top of my list. Is that when the Lord burns him to nothing in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death, that I will have the pleasure of kicking his ashes with these little feet as I walk into New Jerusalem. He says our hearts burn within us. Does your heart move? Or are you unmovable? I'll guarantee you, if I would throw 2 snakes loose in this place, you would be a movable group. I could almost guarantee that there would be more movement than there are right now. What kind of spirit would move you? Would it be something that runs on the ground like this? Or will it be something that comes down deep in your heart through Christ Jesus? What's moving your life? What is really at the center of your motivation? I told my people the other day, I said, you people don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. Man, you ought to have seen them jaws fall. Looked like it just crushed them. But you know, if you really believe in the resurrection from the dead, if you really believe that God has raised up Jesus from the dead, if the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead is in your heart and in your mind and you believe in it, that same power is going to make you alive like you've never been before in your whole life. The thing that's hurting people today is that they're believing in everything else except the power that raised up Jesus from the dead. They are believing in the government, they're believing in everything else, but they are not believing in the power that reached in the tomb. Somebody said, angels moved the stone. What happened after that? God's power moved in. He was dead all the way. Not one ounce of blood, I believe, was in his body. Not any breath of life was him there. He had been there 3 days and three nights, a corpse in that place. And when God's power came from heaven, it raised up Jesus, Christ the Lord, from the dead. The thing about it is that same power in you. You know, you could move some people if you'd have to put fire ants in their britches. You would have to throw a whole handful in some people's pants just to even get a wiggle out of them. The thing about it is God is trying to work in here, in your heart. And the best way to your heart is through His Son. And the only way through Him, Jesus says, there's no way to the Father except by me. You're not going to make it there. Buddha's not going to give it to you. Something down in Hindu, some cow walking the street, that's not going to help you either. I don't care whatever it is, it's not going to make it. The only thing that is going to make it, that's just going to give you eternal life, is Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. What bothers me is, I think people are not believing in that power. I even question my own self. Somebody says, surely not you, a preacher. Oh, yes, I have. And I'll guarantee you there's a place beside my bed and there's a place in my old closet where the floor is getting a little worn for the reason that I want the power that raised up Jesus from the dead back here. That's where I want it. And I want to believe in it so strong that when I walk by somebody and reach out and say, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Somebody said, that's not going to happen. You know what made them old boys do that? You know what? How God did that through them old boys? Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Amen. You know what they believed in? Jesus. Sometimes I think our babies believe in Him more than we do. Amen. Sometimes I think our babies sing His praise more than we do. At least when it comes out of their little mouth, it sounds like it's coming from their heart. Don't it? Don't it sound like it's coming out of their heart? Jesus loves me, this I love. Can't you see it just bubbling in them? Can't you just see the Lord just doing something? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Sometimes I think the little one's got more to tell you than you've got to tell them. The sorrow of the matter is that if we don't ignite the fire. Talk about my butane experience. Whew, Jesus. I never, ever thought that would ever happen to me. You know, I never thought that gas would do that. It gathers in low places. But a buddy of mine at the fire department says, watch it. Says the fumes will get down low. Well, that old metal sink was laying there, you know. I didn't think about anything. I was filling that thing up it was going so good. And I was noticing I was getting it full, and I thought, I had the sense enough to set that thing over here behind me, a good 4 or 5 feet away. Thank the Lord for that one. And then I popped that button, and then, buddy, everything lit up. Both sides of the sink, me, everything lit up, and it was blue. Blue, it just went bluey, and there it was right all over me. You know, I think some people would need an experience like that with God's power. I think they need to see it this close. And then they need to get it in here where it belongs. Down deep inside. I don't think it'll scare you like the flame scared me. But I think it will really change your heart and life. You're going to have to go do some praying. Because these old boys, when they went to that gate that is called Beautiful, they were prayed up. You ever been prayed up? Didn't see a hand go up in a house. Dear Lord Jesus, have mercy. Ain't none of you prayed up. Lord have mercy, you're in bad shape. You're worse off than I thought you was. Went to a funeral one time, did a service with a guy. The family instructor says, we'd like for the funeral to be short. So I did all I could to make it short. Well, he got out to the grave. He did a fairly short little piece. But then he started praying, and whew, Lord have mercy. I didn't say a word. I helped him say amen when he said it, but that was... One old boy reached over and grabbed my arm. Says, "Preacher, says he's not been prayed up in a while, has he?" I turned back to him. I said, "I don't think him and the Lord's talked for days." Spiritual movement only happens with you. It can start in any person in the church, but it starts with an individual. And it's how you treat this thing of knowing Christ as Savior and Lord, and how you treat Him as this resurrected one in your life. I could preach to you all day how much I love Him, because I got more reasons than I can count. I could tell you all day long how much He's done for me, and I could keep you a long time for that. I can tell you the times that He come to me in the darkness was so dark I couldn't see nothing. But when He came, the whole world broke into light. I've been in some of the depths of despair. I felt like I couldn't make it out. And then suddenly Jesus came. And suddenly the whole world came back again. Do you know what I think? I think He wants to set a fire inside of you. How much excitement would it be to get everybody on fire at once? Oh, mercy sakes alive, I'd like to be at the door when all that cut loose in here, because I got a feeling it would be the most beautiful thing it's ever been since it's been the church. When all the church gets on fire for God at one time, when the whole church begins to believe with all the power of God and the power that raised up Jesus from the dead, and when all the church becomes alive at one time in the presence of the Lord, and you think about the upper room was an experience, I've got news for you. It would be a brand new, and it would be in your church. How many of you people darken the closet for that good man sitting right over there? How many of you wore out a piece in your carpet, something worse, for that good man right there? You tell me. Somebody said you couldn't call him good, but what's in him's good. I can call what's in him good. But how many of you people spend an hour, 2 hours a week just praying for the preacher? I tell my people when they darken that door, I said, you better have me prayed up, because you're not getting a thing out of anything in here today unless you prayed before you got here. And if you've not prayed for the deliverer, you won't get nothing delivered. These people were in accord with one another. You read that book of Acts. In one place, one mind, one accord, praying for what? For the power of God. Lord, have mercy. What would happen if we'd all get a dose at once? Somebody said, oh my word, preacher, we'd all turn to Pentecostals. You know, I figure that if you get the real stuff, you're going to be a whole lot better than anybody in the whole wide world, no matter what their name is. I really believe if you get a good dose of what God has to offer you through Christ Jesus, you will be more than what anybody else of the whole world is. These were unlearned and ignorant fishermen. You ever think about unlearned and ignorant? Well, I fit probably in them categories pretty close. Had an English teacher whom I had the privilege of baptizing and bringing to Christ. I really loved the man. His name was Joe Carswell. He said in my church, him and Paul Duncan were real good friends. Paul was a math teacher at High Brighton, and Mr. Joe was an English teacher. He said, I've never been in any place in the world where somebody slew the King's English as much as your preacher does. after I baptized him and the Lord really got a hold of him, I said, "How's that King's English now?" He said, "One thing I've learned of you." He said, "You speak of one King, and he's the only English that I understand." He sleeps in the earth. But one of the things he said before he's succumbed to cancer, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I wish you'd have showed up with Jesus a whole lot sooner than you did." Pin buttons on me? No. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. What do you want to make out of your life? You're making a decision right now. Some are nodding your head, others are kind of looking at me like, don't know what to think. But you know something? The Lord sent me just as sure as he sent him. And he sent me to tell you something. Get yourselves ready. When I came here last time, I can't remember when I came here, but I know Matt was a little bitty feller. Where's he at? He's bigger than all outdoors now. Whatever Ed fed him over to his house, you all ought to get some of it. I don't remember when I came, but I did preach a lot of things that I believed about the end of the age. I haven't changed my mind. You know what I'm trying to preach now? To get you ready before the end of the age. And the only way you're going to be ready is if you know Christ Jesus is your Lord. And the only way you're going to do that is when the Lord puts his word in here so much. Did our hearts not burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures? Is the Lord wanting to start a big fire in your life and you're putting it out faster than he started up? You know what really ruins the Lord's plan for your life? It's for you to love yourself more than you love him. If you love anything in this whole world more than you love him, you've got problems. If you love your wife, your children, your house, your land, all that you've got, I ain't got much to love. I got a very wonderful person called Becky that I love dearly. But she keeps reminding me who I ought to love the most. A whole lot in my family has happened since I came this way. And the Lord has showed me one thing. That I've got to get real busy if I want to see them all grace New Jerusalem. And what I'm telling you is you better get busy. If he's anything more important than Jesus Christ and the love you have for God, anything, do away with it and put your heart and soul and mind and all you are into loving God and his son Jesus. Do you know how much this is going to be standing when he shows up? Nothing. And you know what my greatest wish is? I wish you could see me when I get to strut my stuff in New Jerusalem. Somebody said, "You're not big enough to strut your stuff."
But you're powerful.
Yeah. But you know, Mama used to have what they call little banty roosters. Now, there's nothing more that loves to strut his stuff than a little banty rooster. So I'm going to get to strut my stuff. Paul says, "My desire in all that I am and my crown of rejoicing," he said, "will be you in the presence of the Lord at his coming. To see you all dressed up in your beautiful robes and to see you all dressed up in those crowns of life will be the greatest thing that's ever been seen." But you know what can stop it? You know who puts out the fire? Pastor Fletcher, Brother Lanny over here, they're trying to start a few. Man, he burnt some fire yesterday, but it wasn't spiritual fire. They're trying to get you to do things that are pleasing to God. How much is it going to take? And what is God going to have to do to make you love Him more than anything? What's it going to take for you to lay everything down that means anything to you and love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind? There's a whole lot of empty places in this church. I'm not saying to go out and try to win the whole crowd this evening. But I say if the Lord lights the fire, I think you ought to try to spread it around a little bit. And is there anybody that you'd like to see marched off into the Gehenna fire? Anybody? No, I don't think there is. I'll leave you with a piece of scripture found in Philippians 3 and 10. I think it's 3 and 10. Maybe I better turn there because I don't want to be wrong. It is 10. Paul is speaking. He said, "I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death." I love Paul for another reason. He says some good things that I like to say. He said, "I am crucified, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ liveth within me." The world has a fire extinguisher. The whole purpose of it is to put the fire of God out in your life. And if your love turns any way except towards God, you're opening the door for them to put the fire of God out of your life. I pray that you won't do that. I pray it in Jesus' name.